I'm gonna try and stand behind the table so you don't see me shake. I get distracted very easily. So this morning, last night when I went to bed, I decided that I will not come out of my room until I hear from the Lord, until I have written down what I feel He has to say to me, say to the church here. So I just sat in my room. I was hungry, but then I was like, no, I'm not moving. And then I started writing. I'm so honored to be here. It's just been such an amazing days. It seems like it's going by very fast. But the people that I've met here, such treasure. I cannot express how grateful I am to God and to the church here and to all of my friends. People that I've met who are already my friends, people who I haven't met but are my friends still. And yeah, and I love Siko so much. She's such an amazing person. I had to say that, okay. Okay, so back in Bhutan, when we have church at least for 3 hours. So how many of us are ready for 2 hours of sermon? I'm kidding. I'm getting better with the timing thing, so I'm going to start. I have a verse here from Luke 14, 25 to 35. So I'm just going to read it. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money and everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good, neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Amen. So when I read about who would start constructing a building, I'm used to a crowd that smiles back at me and like goes like, yay, amen, or hallelujah, all right? So just say something when I'm speaking. Just go like this, if you understand me or something, yeah. So when I read about the construction thing, that who starts construction of a building without calculating the cost, I was like, that would be me. I would start something without like, and then I would be in middle. But then God has been so faithful in my life to help me finish things that I've started and still helping me through things that I've started. But that's not the point. So I want to say, like, this is an introduction Jesus gives of himself to the crowd that was following him, right? And this crowd of people that was following Jesus were not like leaders of a church or like mature Christian wanting to go in deeper level understanding of who Jesus is and God is. They were just this crowd of people who were like, maybe kind of interested in what he was saying. And this is what he says, to count the cost. Yeah? That you have to hate your family in comparison to loving me, in comparison to the love that we would have for Christ. This is one of the scripture. I have a few other scriptures, but this is one of the scriptures that I grew up with. And the reason I'm sharing this is when I was praying and I was asking God, like, what's the message that I should take to the church? Because, like, as I said, everyone that I've met, everyone desires to grow in God. Everyone is loving God, wanting to grow and do good and be good. And that just has, like, encouraged me so much. Then I remembered, and I was praying, and this is the scripture that came to me. I remember a time when my mom, that this impractical would be when my mom, when God told her to go places, when God called her into ministry, we were very young, and she sat us down. I remember many a time my mom sitting us down and telling us, God will take care of you, but I have to go and I'll be back. But God will take care of you. He will take care of you better than I can ever take care of you. You have to know that me as a mother cannot be with you, everywhere with you, but if you believe in Jesus, he's always with you, no matter where you are. And that is what I grew up with. And I was thinking, and it was hard. I, being this attention-loving person, like, since my childhood days, I wanted my mom with me. I wanted her to go shopping with me, buy me things. But then, and my friends would talk about that, and I didn't have my mom to do that with me. And it was hard for me. I'm sure it was hard for my brother and sister and my dad especially. But I never heard my dad say, like, don't go. Or like, oh, like, why aren't you staying back home helping me, da-da-da. He was always like, do what God has called you to do. And I love him for that. And so the other thing that I want to say is, like, so when she was going away, and as we were growing up, so we kind of like miss our mom and everything. And then I heard some people like teach about how, like, God is first and ministry, God is first and family is second and ministry is third, and then, like, whatever else we have in our life. And that made me question what my mom did. And I was angry at her. I was like, Mom, didn't you know after God, it's us, it's family that you were supposed to take care of? You were not there for us. We wanted you. There were so many times we wanted you and you were not there for us. And my mom told me, like, I don't know where you heard that, but God requires us to love him first and foremost, above all things, above anyone in your life. He requires supreme love. So I have been so blessed coming here, getting all the love that I'm getting and hearing amazing teachings about how much he loves us. And then it made me think of how broken the world is, how broken we can be, that we need affirmation. We need to hear it again and again and again and to be reminded again and again, because we forget so easily how much God Father loves us. And it's okay, I think. I mean, he would say 1,000 and more times. But we also have to remember that he also requires complete love from us. First and foremost, that is the most important commandment there is in the word. And we shall go to that. That's Matthew. Wait, I have to find it. I'm a bit nervous as well. But it's somewhere in Matthew. We'll read it. I know most of you know this word, but then still we will read it. Okay, but first, before we read that, let me just read the similar kind of passage from Matthew 10:37-39 first. 37-39. If you love your father or your mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. When my sister-in-law my brother's wife, when we were like, you know, discipling her, and then we asked her to go through the Gospels, and like, this is one of the verse, like, I told her, like, oh, if you find anything that you don't understand, please call me, like, I will do my best to help you understand. And this is when she reached here, she called me. She was like, okay, what is this saying? Because I don't understand this. What does this word mean? She was like, how do we hate our family? And I have met people, I have met leaders, I've met Christians who try and soften what Jesus says. Ah, oh, he doesn't mean it like that, you know, like da da da. And then they kind of like make it soft. No, Jesus, if anyone on the earth ever knew what they were speaking or were sure of what they were speaking, it's Jesus. He knows what he's saying. And he said that we, in comparison to him, our love for him, our love for our parents, our love for our kids, our love for our spouse and our friends and everything else in the world should look like hate in comparison to our love for him, because he requires supreme love. Because when we love God with all that we are, we can love each other. The love for others, love for family, love for people that we don't know springs out of love that we have for God. I was talking to one of my friend, and he was telling me about his unchristian friend who loved him through hard times. And he was like, I am amazed that he doesn't know Jesus, but he loved me. My Christian friends turned away from me, but he loved me. And he's like, I'm amazed how he could do that. And if only he would come to the knowledge of Christ, I can't imagine what God would do through his life. Then I thought, it's so good that he was able to love him, like, you know, in the hard times and not turn his back. But then I thought, when we try and love people out of our own strength, out of our own wisdom, we get to a point of frustration. We get to, because we kind of have a time limit to things, and we are like, okay, like, by this time he should be like getting better. And, or I think, well, I do, I don't know about you guys. But then I was like, it's amazing he was able to do that, but then I can't imagine trying to love another person just on my own, or just loving my family, or loving myself even, if I didn't know the love of Christ, So the point is, loving God, loving Christ, supersedes all other love. And it births love for people that we don't know, it births love for places, it births love for nations, that we don't know. That is what loving God does. So our love for him is so supreme in comparison that every other love is so far less that it kind of looks like hate. So my mom being away all the time, doing what God has called her to do, we would have so many rumors about her. And people would come and tell, like, say things. And we would feel like she doesn't love us, you know. And now that I look back, I seek to be in that place where I love God above everything and everyone else. I seek to bring my heart that gets distracted so easily back to him, to a place where I am just in love with him, and that everything else that I do and every other relationship that I have flows out of the love relationship I have with God. And in Luke 14, when the word hate is used, it's a very strong and offensive word. But Now I understand it, because it did look like hate to us. Like, our mom doesn't care about us, and people would come and say things, like, you know, and they would even tell her, you're supposed to stay back home, take care of your kids, and, like, look, you know, take care of your husband. And this might sound a bit tricky, but some of us are called to do that, and that is good. That is good in itself. I'm not saying, like, everyone should be, like, away all the time. But if that is whatever God has called you to do, what I'm saying is whatever God has called you to do, that we have to count the cost and be able to sacrifice and pay. One of the other things that my mom always told me was, like, the obedience and sacrifice of one person brings healing, deliverance, and change to so many people. When one of us dare to be obedient to what God has called us to do, be willing to do what God has called us to do, and not worry about what's going to happen here or there and everything else. I don't think my mom would have been able to do what she did if she wasn't willing to pay the cost of doing what God had called her to do at that time. So I don't know. Maybe there are some of us here tonight that God has showed some specific things to. And you know you have to do that. But then you have all these important excuses, list of them, saying why you can't do that right now or ever. I am reminding everyone and myself that He is worthy of first and greatest love in our life. He is so much more than worthy. So do we love Christ as we are called to love Him? And I'm not asking about, do we go to church on Sundays or pray or read our Bible or pray daily or things Christians are supposed to do? The question is, do we love Him? Is He the reason that we live? Another friend of mine gave me a book to read. And I was just reading the preface, and that's all I've been doing, just reading the preface and just crying, because it talks about being in awe of God. How there's, like, so many things in the world and people in the world that just captures our heart, that just makes us in awe of it. But then how God alone is most worthy. So I want to be careful when I say this, but like I've said before, we tend to idolize things, people, relationships. So much. One thing so much that Jesus only gets leftover of our affections, leftover of our love. I want to encourage us, including myself. I tell the people back home whenever I'm speaking, every time I choose to speak, it's on something that I want to speak to myself about. So this is not just me telling you guys. This is me encouraging myself here. Let us forsake everything in favor of intimate relationship with God. Things, especially if it is things that distracts you or holds you back. Oh, the joy and wonder of just being in love with Him. Jesus, when He spoke the passage that I read from Luke 14, was talking to a crowd that was interested in Him. flirting with him. But how many of us know that he is coming back for a bride, not for a flirt? He's coming back for a bride, and we are his bride. And I read the story of, I'm kind of bad with pronouncing people's names, but I think it's John Bunyan. He was a missionary in a time when it was very difficult to be a Christian, let alone be a preacher, but then he was a preacher. Reading his story helped me understand my mom. Because I read his story a little bit, and then he was a man, he was a preacher in his time, and they were poor. They didn't have like, I think they just had like enough and a little bit less, I think. But it talks about like he had like four children, I think, and the first one was blind, and his first wife died, and he has this, there's this second girl that he marries, and then so the authorities, and he is there on fire and preaching and bringing people to Christ, and he gets threatened that if you continue to preach, you will be put in jail. So, but then if he doesn't preach, like if he's in jail, then his family has nothing then. Right, because he's the earner in the family. He goes to preach, and you know, I think he brought home whatever he got or everything like that. He took care of his family like that. So what would you do if you were in a situation like that? Because there's your family, and there's this risk of going to jail and leaving your family like just like that. He chose to continue to preach. And he was jailed for 12 years. And there was this letter that I read that helped me understand how my mom must have felt like every time she had to leave home. I wrote it a little bit, but then it talked about how parting with his wife and children was like pulling of flesh from his bones. It's not that he was like, oh, hallelujah, and all that. He was in pain when he was in jail. And he writes, I often think about the hardship and the misery that have brought upon my family. It's like I pulled down the roof over my family. But I had to do it, and I would do it again. So I want to end by saying that, yes, God loves us, and his love is never ending, forever. His love is just so amazing. I went through something, and I know he loves me, but I needed to hear it, that I'm loved. And I wasn't able to share it with anyone, just one of my friends, And I just got a word when we were praying during the intercession time about being in a garden and like how I was a little girl and like that Jesus was giving me a flower. And that is our God. He knows us inside out. He loves us. And he is more than able to take care of us. But at the same time, he requires us to love him back the same. He requires us to put him first above everyone and everything else. So can we pray? My prayer is for God to take this word, to show us what his word says, to drive us before him, to spend hours wrestling before God, to know how this word applies to us. if all we do is talk with each other and come up with few things that we think we have to do, we miss the point. I would like to really encourage every one of us to take the word, to go into the prayer closet and to be with God.
Can we just respond this evening? If you're here tonight and you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, if you have no idea who this Christ is, who's being spoken about, who's being sung about, and you want to commit your life to Jesus, then I really believe the time of your visitation is now. It's a time, it's the most glorious thing that can happen to you. So just while every eye is closed and we just, Christians, those of you who can just pray, can you do that now? And if there's anybody here who wants to say, I want to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life, I've never done that before, then I want you to raise your hand now. It takes a bold step. If there's anyone like that who'd like to commit their lives to Christ. There's a song by my favorite artist which says, there's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. It may not be the easy way, but there's no better place on earth than the road that leads to Jesus. The second group of people are, if there's someone tonight where you can really just say that you're almost like that church in Revelation who has lost his first love. That first church that Christ speaks to, he says, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. That Christ is not at the center, at that place where you would say, I would be willing to forsake everything, my family, everything for this, for your sake. And I think that's where most of us are at. And I believe Jesus is saying, I'm your first love. I'm the person that you need to come to. Above all, I will seek you above all. If that's you tonight, then just raise your hand in acknowledgement and say, Lord, I want you to be my first love. Lord, show me how to love you more than I love my wife or my brothers and my sisters, my mom and my dad. I want you to be my first love. If that's you this evening, then just raise your hand and we just pray together. Father, we desire that you be our first love. Lord, we are enticed by this world. We are pulled in, Lord God, by our worldly possessions and our families, Lord God, and everything that holds us back from loving you first. Lord, we dearly love our families, Lord God. We dearly love our friends, Lord. But we desire that you would be our first love. Give us the boldness and the courage, Lord, to say, I will love you above all, above everything. Thank you, Jesus, that you are worthy of that love, that first place, the favorite, the first choice. And Lord, we just bless you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you would start to build in us, Lord God, a love which is first for you and second for everybody else, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us as well, Lord God, like David, a zeal and a love for your house. Lord, that we would not forsake the fellowship of the saints, Lord God, and that we would love our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who we are bound to by covenant, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if the worship team, are you guys able to give us a... Of course you are. Let's just respond. If there's someone who needs prayer this evening, there are some people to pray with you, I hope. No, I'm just joking. There are people to pray with you this evening. If you have a need or you just want to respond, just during the worship time, come forward and we can just pray for you. The effect of fervent prayer avails much. It does much. It accomplishes much. So have the confidence to come forward as we worship just together with the last song. Amen.